Hi everyone, I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 108. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this week we've got a super interesting episode on tap for you, starting with the fact that Facebook essentially redesigned business pages from top to bottom. We're also chatting about some interesting social media facts about Gen Z in 2018, ROI on meme accounts, and more.
You know, I just realized that I don't think we've ever talked about meme accounts here on the show, but I'd venture to say that they're one of the biggest players on social media over the last few years, so this should be fun. Let's kick off the show.
An inescapable fact of Facebook's unbelievable growth over the past few years is that as more pages and people compete for limited newsfeed attention, businesses will naturally see their posts reach decline. And as we're going to talk about in next week's episode, so stay tuned for that, reach for pages has dropped more than 50% on average over the last year and a half. So we've seemingly hit a point of no return on Facebook with a combination of increased content and decreased space in the newsfeed.
And that's exactly why Facebook is attempting to redefine business pages not just as a broadcasting tool for marketing through the newsfeed, but as a destination for customers. Think Google, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and other destination-based websites. In short, Facebook is redesigning the pages of 80 million small businesses on its platform to better serve the 1.6 billion people around the world connected to them.
So first, pages will emphasize what many are calling the quote-unquote utility related to the business. So utility might mean making an appointment or a calling option for salons or reservations and menus for restaurants. They'll also be focusing on recommendations and reviews. So the recommendations users can give friends through Facebook's special newsfeed post format, which is triggered when people ask for suggestions, will now appear on pages. And to improve the quality of reviews left on pages, they are now at a 25 character minimum. So you can't just leave one word reviews.
I think that's a great move. But we got to talk about one potentially controversial change here, and that's that Facebook will start showing related pages on other pages. So Facebook's VP of local, essentially like local businesses, Alex Himmel, told TechCrunch that there's no easy way to discover new businesses on Facebook, and the focus is to make it easy to discover new businesses, which we think any business or customer will be excited about, right? So from a customer standpoint, this will be super useful. You know, it's like searching for a restaurant on Yelp and seeing all of the other similar restaurants on the list and in the area. For businesses, though, that will present a challenge, which is why providing detailed information about your business along with recommendations and reviews will be extremely important moving forward.
All right, finally, a few smaller but still important changes. To provide promotional options beyond the feed, all small business pages can now post stories to Facebook, which is an interesting play from a discovery standpoint. So Facebook is also rolling out its job applications tab worldwide so that small businesses can easily find staffing, which I can imagine is a big problem for them. And according to TechCrunch, both of these could blossom into advertising opportunities at a time when Facebook's revenue is declining and it does need more income streams. So Alex Himmel, who we just quoted earlier, he did note that 2/3 of businesses say that Facebook has helped them increase sales and that Facebook will be talking more soon about how local businesses can stay relevant and visible in the newsfeed.
All in all, an intriguing move from Facebook that we will keep a close eye on in the coming months here on the show so that you can continue to thrive as a business on the Facebook platform. We recommend dedicating resources to ensuring that all customer inquiries to start via direct message, messenger, or comments are handled in a timely manner, and that you are actively cultivating positive reviews for your business on Facebook, because those are going to be very important in the future. If you haven't already, check out our tool Buffer Reply, R-E-P-L-Y, which can help you to do that and more.
Social media usage continues to grow, with social media global penetration set to hit 3 billion people worldwide by 2021. And one of the fastest growing, quickest adopting generations on social media is, of course, Generation Z, or teenagers, or as we know them, Gen Z. And they are estimated to make up more than a quarter, roughly 26% of the US population. This week, we stumbled on a really interesting report from Google titled It's Lit, What Teens Think Is Cool. And that report shows key demographic, marketing, and social media stats around this up-and-coming generation. Some of the findings were pretty insightful, not to mention the title of the report was just really hilarious. And so we thought we would share them with you today.
Yeah, that title from Google is amazing. I can just see their team sitting around trying to figure out what to name the report until like someone in the corner finally says like, it's lit. And they're like, we got it. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it. I love it.
So the first thing I thought was interesting is that Gen Z reported, and I quote, Snapchat and Instagram are the coolest platforms. Facebook is still a daily habit for most teens for consumption and passively viewing content from friends and family, but they rarely post and it's not seen as cool. So you're not going to like tell your friends about it.
Facebook is not lit, would you say?
I would say Facebook is not lit.
In the report, one 17-year-old was asked why she loves Snapchat, and she said, quote, Snapchat gives us a place to connect with friends in a fun way without having to worry about them sharing your thoughts unless they screenshot, end quote. I mean, which, like, above all else, is just an interesting look into the psychology of teens on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like Gen Z is a lot more focused on the private or more closed networks that allow them to message and share with friends without everyone publicly seeing it, like WhatsApp, Telegram, and other chat services, for example, growing in popularity over the past few years.
Breaking the stats down even further, here's how each social platform compares to the other in terms of Gen Z and usage. As you might have guessed, Instagram and Snapchat are in a tight race for the top. Instagram is in the lead with 59% of Gen Zers using it, and 57% of them are using Snapchat. And then after that, it's Facebook at 53%, Twitter at 36%, and Pinterest at 26%.
Yeah, I thought this one was really interesting because Google didn't count YouTube as a social media network like we often do here on the show, but they do talk about it later in the report as a streaming service. So teens report that the top four coolest streaming services in order are YouTube, Netflix, Spotify, and Hulu. And if you were to compare those with the uses on social media networks like Instagram and Snapchat, they are, of course, right up there with them. So in other words, just a ton of content consumption across the board for Gen Z.
Yeah. And another part of this study, which I thought was interesting, was which companies that Gen Z rated as their favorite. And I think this gives us some insights into the type of brand marketing campaigns Gen Z finds engaging and how we might learn from those. So at the top of the list are brands like Oreo, PlayStation, Doritos, Xbox, Apple, Nike, Amazon, Chick-fil-A, and GoPro. And as their least favorite brands, they listed Patagonia, Zara, Lululemon, Quiksilver, Oakley, Nordstrom, and Sunglass Hut. It goes to show that brands should think about the future of marketing if they want to thrive 5 or 10 years from now when Gen Z really has a lot more purchasing power.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the millennials, us, you and I, Haley, are in like the sort of purchasing power spot right now. And I would say it's funny because I think a lot of millennial favorite brands are like Patagonia and Lululemon.
I think Lululemon is really cool. I'm just not with the times.
So I feel like we're a bunch of old people like looking down on Gen Z, like, look at those kids down there.
Oreo is cool though. I'll give them that. Oreo is definitely absolutely cool.
Yeah, but one last thought here is that Gen Z never knew the world before the internet, right? So before everything you could ever want or need was just one click away. As a result, Gen Z is one of the most informed generations. They value information, stimulation, and connection. And they also have high hopes for brands that they choose to purchase products from and to follow on social media. As Google writes at the end of their report, quote unquote, as professionals, we should see this as our challenge to live up to the standard of Gen Z and what they have set for us to continue to inform, inspire, and create products and marketing that facilitate the world in which they want to live. So very heavy stuff.
All right, let's talk about meme accounts. Meme accounts have been flooding our social feeds for several years now, each offering their own brand of witty, relatable posts. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, you've likely seen a meme in your feed at one time or another. Essentially, it's a photo or video with text around it describing the photo or video in some really funny way.
Yes, and believe it or not, from sports to celebrities and everything in between, meme accounts produce some of the most popular content on social media today. And according to Digiday, with the peak of influencer marketing slowly setting in, meme accounts offer attractive partnerships for brands and publishers. Supposedly, some agencies and brands are now switching their attention from influencers to meme accounts to run native advertisements on platforms like Facebook and Instagram.
Digiday reported that meme accounts get a high return on investment because it is extremely hard for a brand to create the kind of wit and humor that seems to come naturally to the content creators behind these meme accounts. They are super relatable and they get amazing engagement.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, I follow a few, my wife follows a few, my friends follow some, and I always seem to get them in my direct messages from friends. So they are pretty good. It's also interesting to read about the difference in cost and ROI as well. Since meme accounts are just starting to be utilized as an ad platform, they don't really know their value yet, and so they're cheaper, at least for now.
Tim Armo, CEO of influencer platform Fanbytes, reported that, quote, for 1 million followers, you could be paying $15,000 to a human influencer, and for 1 million followers on a meme account, you'd be paying about $1,000, end quote.
That's pretty incredible, but obviously meme accounts won't work for every brand or industry. Meme accounts are really good for driving brand awareness in certain industries like fashion, food, entertainment, publishing, e-commerce, et cetera. But I'd imagine it might be tough if you're a brand like, let's say, Buffer, in a more traditional industry like education, finance, banking, or real estate, right? So,
yeah, I can imagine that would definitely be tough because I think that you have to be okay with like getting made fun of maybe a little bit or like that yes. kind of humor. But, you know, I mean, I do think there is an opportunity for brands to get creative here, even if you're in a traditional industry. Either way, it will be interesting to see how this grows and plays out in the near future. I'm curious to watch how meme accounts go from really organic and authentic to a network that accepts advertising revenue. Will they become less authentic, maybe? So only time will tell. We'll see what happens with meme accounts in the future.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And that's with most things in social media, right, Haley?
Absolutely. You just never know where they're going to go.
Nope, but you did hear it first on the Science of Social Media that memes are the future. Maybe not. All right, last but not least, some bonus content for you today. And this one sort of went under the radar. We certainly missed it on this podcast. And that's that LinkedIn launched a new version of hashtags. And they're actually great for spreading and finding content on the platform.
So I'm pretty sure we were all unclear on whether or not hashtags actually worked on LinkedIn prior to this. And, you know, we didn't know if company pages found them valuable, but here we are. Now LinkedIn is encouraging people and pages to use hashtags in their content so that they can increase the visibility of that content in the newsfeed.
Similar to Instagram, you can now follow and search hashtags on LinkedIn using a feature they're calling Your Communities. You can even pin the hashtags that are most relevant to you so they appear first in your feed every time you log in. And you can use a new Discover feature to search hashtags that shows the amount of people following that specific hashtag, a sort of social proof move by LinkedIn, which I thought was neat.
Yeah, so before you go adding hashtags to your LinkedIn posts and articles, you'll need to find hashtags that align with your LinkedIn strategy and the interests of your ideal audience. A good place to start here is to see which hashtags the influencers in your niche are already using on LinkedIn, as well as sites such as Twitter and Instagram, and just pay attention to who is using that hashtag and how they use it in tandem with their content. Then, before adding any hashtags to your own strategy, it's important to verify that the hashtag is actually popular and that you have the correct meaning for it.
Right now, LinkedIn doesn't limit the number of hashtags you can add to your articles, which is
okay.
Debatable.
Yeah. Don't add too many.
Yeah, don't add too many, but they do encourage users to use hashtags that are relevant. So there you go. And while you can edit an article after it's published, you can't edit or remove hashtags. So just a quick heads up there. Finally, for all of you using LinkedIn for business, we had the opportunity to get some inside LinkedIn marketing tips directly from the LinkedIn team, which we'll be talking about in an episode in the very near future. So check back soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Science of Social Media today. The show notes for this episode are now available on the Buffer blog at blog.buffer.com with a complete transcript and links to all of the resources that we mentioned today. And if ever you want to get in touch with me or Brian, we're always here for you on social media. Use the hashtag Buffer Podcast, and you can also send us an email at hello@buffer.com.
As always, thank you so much for your iTunes reviews. We know we say this every single show, but honestly, those mean a ton to us. And it's one of the main factors that helps the show to grow. So thank you. More great episodes coming up, including a massive 43 million Facebook post analysis, how to discover irresistible content, LinkedIn marketing, and so much more. Until next Monday, everyone.